I don't care what you have to do, John. Find him and bring him here.
Calm down, Valerie. Drink your tea and try to relax.
I can't relax. I want you to go and find him for me, or else I'll go and find him myself, and you don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
Then go and find him for her.
I'm going to go and find him, Jane. I just want to ask Valerie a few questions.
Far away.
Make it quick.
Okay. Without being too obvious, do you have any idea where he might be?
If I did have any idea, would I be sitting here?
Well, has he made any attempt to contact you?
He's not that brave.
Is it possible that somebody else knows where he is?
Knock this on the head, John. You need to go now and find Tom and bring him straight back here as quickly as possible. Do you understand me?
Look, just try to relax, love. I will find him within 2 hours, I promise.
Okay, but just so that you know, if you don't bring him here in the next 2 hours, I will be going after him and you.
My round, Betty. Same again for all them over there. I have 2 words for you. Ball and chain.
That's 3 words.
No, just ball and chain. Just ball, that's 1 word, and...
That's 2 words.
No, no, you don't count and as a word.
Ignore him. Let me just say I'm delighted for you, Leo. Congratulations, young man, I mean that.
Ball is a word, chain is a word.
Let Arrow speak.
You know, in my day now, I'm going back a fair bit here. It was 1957, a rainy Halloween night brought everybody in off the streets for a wee nightcap and what had you. The drink was flowing. And everywhere you looked, a person had a smile on his or her face. Happy days.
Did you say Halloween? I hate Halloween.
I had a wee job in McScoobery's bar, and she worked in the mill. I was just a lad of 17, with the whole world in front of me, and she had just turned 15. Her mother and father didn't let her out much, so it was a real treat to see her in the bar on this particular night.
Same again, Betty Love.
If you call her Love, she won't bring the drinks.
I'll go up and get them anyway. I need a break from Jack and Ori here.
The man is trying to tell a story.
That's right, Leo. A story. Remember that, because that's all it is.
It's not just a story. It's a memory.
It's not a real memory, Errol. It's just the way you want to remember it. This is what he does. This is what old people always do. They romanticise everything.
No respect.
Well, here he goes. No respect. That's right. In the 1950s, everybody respected older people.
Not everybody, but most
James
people.
James Dean, did he respect his parents?
Maybe if he did, he wouldn't have died in a motorbike accident.
And then he wouldn't have been the biggest movie star in the world of all time.
Who the heck is James Dean?
Did you just say, who the heck?
He just doesn't like me swearing. I'm trying not to anyway. I need to get used to it before the child is born. I don't want to be effing and blending in front of the baby.
Good for you, Leo. I think you're going to be a wonderful father.
Do you know what you need to do, Leo? You need to get drunk. You need to let it go. Swear what you want. Drink when you want. And you need to start doing it right now. Betty Love, same again, I say.
She won't bring them down if you keep calling her Love.
Do you live with your lady friend, Leo?
Fiance. No, we don't live together. I mean, she'd stay over my ma's house and I'd stay in her house sometimes, but no. We don't live together yet.
Living in your parents' home is nothing to be ashamed of. Me and my Lily. We had to live in her parents' house even after we had our first 2 children. You see, back then it was too expensive for a young family to get by without help. We both worked and her parents looked after the wee ones. This is back when the world made sense. Back before play boxes and X stations.
Will I go up and get the drinks or what?
You're so down. I don't want to be pissed before this poker match with my mates.
Do you play poker?
I play online all the time. So this is going to be like a wedding present for me. Because I'm going to take every penny they have. And that's a lot of pennies.
How much are we talking about?
100 gets you a seat at the table. But there's no limit. So it could end up being thousands.
That would be a nice wedding present, all right. Give you a good start.
Poker? Now there's a game I always fancy playing.
Have you never played poker?
I always wanted to try playing it. And I've always fancied myself as a bit of a poker player, you know, but the wife, she doesn't allow me to gamble.
So, you've never, ever ever played poker in your whole life?
I've played the game. I think I know most of the rules. Like, you know, if your cards are all the same colour, that beats them running in order, like 5, 6, 7.
A flush beats a run.
Yes, that's it. I know all that. But I've never played the game for money. I've played for matchsticks, things like that.
And you've never played poker. Because poker is all about the risk. What risk is there in losing a matchstick?
I think it would just be the same. I mean, if you think about it, it's just whatever cards you get dealt, isn't it?
You know what you should do? You should play cards with us tonight.
I just told you I'm not allowed to gamble.
And I told you I'm not allowed to swear. But what did he say to me, Earl? Didn't he say I should get drunk and start swearing?
He did indeed.
Then I say, what about you putting your money where your mouth is, and after this wee drink, we go and play some fucking cards?
Okay. I'll play. But only on one condition. Nobody ever mentions this to anybody. My wife would kill me if she found out I was gambling.
And my wife, I mean, fiancé, would kill me if she found out I was swearing. So you and me are in the same boat.
I want to make a toast to life, love and happiness.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Life, love and happiness are three things that are twice as good when they are shared with someone you love.
Then I will toast freedom. Freedom from wives and fiancés.
Freedom. Something young people take for granted, but in my day, we knew it had to be fought for.
Freedom to eat what you want when you want to eat it. Freedom to drink what you want when you want to drink it. And most of all, freedom to...
That's enough.
Can I say something here, Leo? You don't have to get married.
We're here celebrating my engagement.
And the pending birth of your child.
But you don't have to go through with it. Me and him didn't. Look at us.
When did we become us?
You have a choice, Leo. Me and him didn't. We had to get married.
I didn't have to get married. I chose to get married.
Errol, you got a 14-year-old girl pregnant in 1950s Belfast. Trust me, you had no choice. You had to get married to her.
That doesn't mean I didn't want to.
And I do want to get married.
Why did you not decide to get married until she was pregnant then?
I asked her before, but she said no.
What? That's even worse.
I've wanted to marry her from the first day I met her.
Oh, I have two words for you, Leo. Run to the hills.
You're up to four words now. You really don't get the word count thing.
If you love this girl, Leo, like I think you do, then you're doing the right thing. You don't need to run to the hills. You need to grab her and hold on to her, because love is a very rare and extremely hard to replace. My Lily, for example, was the love of my life. And if I have any regrets, that would be regretting the times I wasn't with her.
Hi, Tom. Message, go.
Hello, Tom. This is John. Phone me back on this number as soon as you get it. It's urgent. Hey, Samantha! Samantha!
What can I do for you, Big John?
I'm looking for Tom. Have you seen him anywhere?
No. But then I wouldn't, because the prick is overdue on his loan. And the last time I saw him, he asked for more and I turned him down and I haven't seen him since.
Okay, thanks. Listen, if you do see him, tell him to call me. It's important.
Yeah, and if you see him, tell him interest is being added every day. And if I have to pay someone else to go and get it off him, then my cost will be added to his loan as well. Do you know what I mean, love?
Don't listen to Errol. He lived in a world before Technicolor. We hovis boys cycling up a hill to Never Never Land. None of it's true. He actually remembers his own life as an old black and white movie.
You can't beat a good black and white film. But I am capable of distinguishing my own memories from cinema fiction. And what I'm trying to say to you, Leo, is that life, love and happiness have to be shared, and they have to be fought for and earned. They don't just fall into your lap.
I know that. That's why I'm trying to change. For the better, for the kids and for her. I want to be a brilliant father and a great husband.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
And may I say that I am confident you will excel as both a husband and a father.
Let me tell you something about Errol and Lily. He would have you believe that they were this amazing couple who went for walks holding hands all the time, and when they said they loved each other, they meant it. It's not true. Him and Lily fought like cat and dog. He liked a wee bet on the horses. She hated him doing that. Would even go from one bookies to the next trying to catch him on. And he used to go from one bookies to the next to get away from her. When she was alive, he would sit in here and tell any person who would listen a list of what he hated about his wife. But since she died, everything's changed. and now she was the greatest person you could ever have wished to meet. The love of his life. An angel that fell from heaven.
If I was a younger man, I would knock your teeth down your throat.
Now, hold on there. I was too far.
All right. Okay. If I went too far, I apologize. But I'm trying to save your life here, Leo.
Tom, I've been looking everywhere for you.
I've been here all day.
Do you ever check your phone?
I lost my phone.
Well, that's all right. Doesn't matter now, anyway.
Sit down, John. Do you want a drink?
No, thanks. I want you to come with me.
Have a drink with me or I'm not going anywhere.
Now, don't make me drag you out of here kicking and screaming.
That's something I would like to see.
At a time like this, you have to have one drink. Same again, Barry, and one more for Big John.
Look, if you don't get off that chair and into my car in the next 5 seconds, you're going to make me do something we'll both regret. Although, admittedly, you will regret it more than I will.
I wonder who she would send for me. I'm glad it was you, John.
Good. Come on, let's go.
I've always liked you.
Are you hungry? Don't start. Look, we're leaving. No drinking, no eating, just leaving.
What if I say no?
You're not going to say no.
I am. I'm saying no. You can't make me go. I'll cause a big scene. You'll never be able to show your face in here ever again.
Well, there's no need for any kind of scene.
I mean it, John. I'm staying right here. If you're going to do something about it, then you'll have to do it in front of witnesses.
Don't let us stop you, big man.
Tom, don't do this. I have a splitting headache and you're making it worse.
Go home then. You don't have to be here. You don't have to do this.
Yes, I do.
Why do you have to do it? Because you've been told?
I'm doing it because it needs to be done.
But it doesn't. You could just have one drink with us and then get up and walk away.
I'm not leaving you here, Tom.
Why not? What have I ever done to you?
I don't have time for this.
How long have we been friends, John?
We have never been friends. My wife is friends with your wife.
Why don't you just say that I wasn't here? That you didn't find me?
I can't do that.
Why not? Are you afraid?
I'm not afraid of anybody.
Just let me have one drink to celebrate this young man's demise.
A what?
Please drag him out.
We have an opportunity to save this young man's life before he throws it away. Seriously. He got his girlfriend pregnant and now he thinks he has to marry her.
I'm Leo, by the way.
Pleased to meet you, son.
You're very welcome to join us for a quick one if you want to.
How can you say no to that face? Look at him. He's lost his wife, you know. I'm just here to let him know that life goes on. Come on, John. Help me comfort this sad, lonely old man and help me talk this young, crazy fool out of jumping off a cliff.
I can't. Look, I've got to get you home to your wife and your two beautiful children. Now, think about them.
I can't stop thinking about them. They're in my mind 24 hours a day. Forget that. They're in my face 24 hours a day. Well, not anymore. Do you hear me? Not no more, I said.
I have you two words for him, Tom? Mm.
I do, actually. And they begin and end with the letter F.
Look, Tom. Look, if you want, I'll get Betty to make you a nice pot of coffee. And you can try and sober up a bit before I take you home. But that is the best I can do for you. Otherwise, I'm going to go out the door, drive round to your house and tell your wife that you're sitting here bad-mouthing her, and let her come round and get you.
I would really like you to do that one.
I'm not afraid of my wife. I'm not like you, John.
Okay, goodbye.
Oh, no, okay, wait. John! I'll take that coffee.
Okay, but you drink the coffee and then we're out of here, Tom. You got me?
I can't do that, John.
Yes, you can. Look, my wife's babysitting your kids and she wants a break.
Did you hear that, Leo? Big John's here because his wife is making him be here.
At least I'm not here hiding from my wife.
Yeah, I admit it. I am here hiding from my wife. And one day soon you will find yourself in a place like this, Leo.
Me and my girl aren't like that.
It doesn't start off like this. See the way your girl is pretending to be right now? We all fell for the same thing.
She's not pretending.
Ah, Tom, don't start this.
He needs to know what he's heading into. If you saw him out there on the road and a juggernaut was heading straight for him, would you not try to push him out of the way?
I used to drive a juggernaut. 2 years on the road, and then it all got too much for her.
Oh, your wife made you give up the best job in the world? Add that to the list.
What list?
I would hardly call driving a lorry the best job in the world.
I don't know if I would call it the best job in the world, but there were days like when I was driving through Europe. I would get on the autobahn through Germany with no speed limit. And I would really let my big rig loose.
Sounds like a dream job to me.
The power, the speed, the length of the road just stretching out in front of you.
And his wife made him give that up? That's what they do, Leo. You see, right now, your girlfriend is putting on an act. She's probably letting you wear what you want, listen to what you want, even maybe watch what you want on TV.
I know what you're going to say, but my Cameron isn't like other women.
Cameron? Is that not a man's name?
Does she let you play video games?
Nobody has to let me do anything. I'm my own man.
That's what they want you to think.
Will you stop giving this young man a hard time?
Right now, as it stands, Leo here is young, free and single. As were we many years ago. Even Errol, okay?
You're asking me to go way back now.
When we were young, free and single, we were also stupid. Very, very stupid. And we had no idea what the rest of our lives would be like. And so, we made some very poor decisions. In fact, we all made the same poor decision. We got married. We had children. And boom! We woke up and realised that we were no longer single and no longer free.
But some of us stayed stupid.
When it happened to us, there was something missing. There was nobody there to warn us. And I know why. Because when men walk into a trap and find themselves looking awfully foolish, pride kicks in and they refuse to admit it. Like John here.
Watch what you say, Tom.
You're a very lucky man, Leo, because it's not too late for you. And also, you have me. I am not going to allow pride to get in my way. I'm going to tell you the truth and I'm going to warn you about what is going to happen to you.
He's about to become a man.
You see? Pride is kicking into poor old Errol here. You see, he doesn't want to admit that he wasted his entire life when he could have been a gay truck driver.
I never wasted my life.
You said you worked every day breaking your back. Who did you do that for?
My family. That's what men do.
That's what idiots do. And I should know because I'm the biggest idiot of all. I saw it. The day I got married, my daddy took me to the side. Now, he wasn't a man of many words. And I didn't really understand him. But I never forgot what he said. Tom, son, you don't have to do this. Nah. At the time, I brushed it off. Because I thought I was in love. And everything was going to be perfect. I had a girl who was different to every other girl in the world. And she was going to make me the happiest man in the world. And I was going to love her forever.
I think that's the nicest thing I ever heard you say about your wife. You know, you should go home right now and tell her this.
I'm not saying it about my wife. I'm saying it about the woman I loved.
Wait, I'm not following you.
There was another woman.
Yes, there was.
Who? You never told us this.
The girl of my dreams. The girl who would do anything for me. The girl who never criticised any stupid thing I did. And I did a lot of stupid things.
Maybe that's a drink, but I'm confused. What does he say?
I'm trying to tell you that the love of my life, my best friend, my perfect, beautiful lady, the woman who completed me, who made me the happiest, luckiest man in the world, she died.
So the woman you're hiding from is your second wife.
How did she die? Was she ill?
All I know is that I went to the hospital with her. I sat in the room with her, holding her hand, mopping her brow, kissing her cheek.
What was wrong with her?
Oh, Errol, nothing was wrong with her. She was perfect.
Don't listen to this.
The doctors did everything they could for her. They pumped her full of morphine, and I remember looking into her eyes, and she squeezed my hand tighter than ever, and I kissed her. I didn't know I was kissing her goodbye. The doctors ordered me out and I left the room. I never saw her again. The next day I took this other woman home with me. And she had a baby. And they lived with me from then on.
Wait a second. The day after your wife died, you took another woman home?
That actually makes sense to me. You married your current wife on the rebound. She got you when you were feeling vulnerable. And alone.
He's trying to be funny, Errol. Don't pay any attention to him. He's leaving with me right now. Let's go, you, before this gets any worse.
Wait a minute, I didn't know his wife died. If my girlfriend died, I don't think I would ever get over that.
Yes, John, maybe you should let him stay here.
Yeah.
This actually explains an awful lot about the way Tom is feeling. Is this like the anniversary of her death?
His wife didn't die!
He went to the hospital with his wife to have a baby, and he's trying to make out that after she had the child, she changed so much that it was like she died and became somebody else.
I don't understand any of what you just said.
Did your first wife die or not, Tom?
Let me ask you a question. What is it that makes you want to marry Cameron?
I think Cameron's a nice name now that I think about
it. Just answer the question. Why are you getting married, Leo?
His girl is pregnant. He has to marry her.
That was in your day, Errol. Today, he doesn't have to marry her.
He's marrying her because he loves her. Now, leave him alone. Let's get back to the two women that we love.
Well, Tom's right. I don't have to marry her. I want to marry her.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because I love her.
What do you love about her?
Millions of things.
No, you don't.
Don't tell me what I do or don't love, mate, all right? It's annoying.
You love the way you feel when she's around. You love the way she makes you feel. Now, for every man in the world, that thing is different. Some people like boobs. Some people like legs. Some people like...
It's not just about sex.
Is it not?
No, it isn't.
It was for me.
Don't help him, Errol.
It's always about sex. You asked her out because of sex. You dated her because of sex. And you kept on dating her because she must have been better than all the other girls you dated because of sex.
People fall in love. It's not just sex.
What, so you're saying you haven't had sex with her?
She's pregnant, so I think we could safely rule that one out.
Whatever it is that she does for you that nobody else did, that's all gonna come to an end. And when it does, you're just going to be left living in a place with a person that you don't even like.
I love my fiancé.
If she's already making you happy, why do you have to change it?
You fall in love, you get married and you have a family.
Not necessarily in that order, but he's right.
No, he isn't. She wants to get married so that she can take over your life and control you, Leo. And once she's married, she'll make you wear a ring so that every other woman knows that you belong to her.
No way.
Really? Who dresses you in the morning?
I dress myself.
Who buys your clothes?
I do.
You bought that jumper?
Well, she bought me this one, but I decided to wear it.
Where do you get your hair cut?
She cuts it for me, but that's to save money.
These are the signs. I want you to see them. She is going to make you unattractive to other women by changing your hairstyle, changing the way you dress, making you eat more and more of her food so that you get fatter and fatter.
I'm not fat, so don't be looking at me when you say things like that.
He used to play football for a team and then go out drinking. He hasn't played in years. Tell him why, John.
Got injured.
No, he didn't. She doesn't allow him.
I don't need to be allowed.
She bought him what he's wearing. She cut his hair and she fattened him up. She also picked them glasses.
What's wrong with my glasses?
What's wrong with them? When was the last time a woman tried to pick you up, John? Or even flirted with you, not that you would have noticed?
Look, I'm a married man.
He used to be a chick magnet. Different women every week, every day if he had wanted. But look at him now.
I don't try.
My wife didn't change me.
Where's your lorry, Errol? Do you even have a car?
Yes, I do have a car.
Tell Leo what kind of car you drive, Errol.
Can't afford a good car.
Don't listen to them, Leo. Listen to me. I want to help you.
Why would my wife want to make me unattractive? She's the one who has to sleep with me every night.
Bingo! And there it is. The reason they do what they do is so that they can stop doing what it was that trapped you in the first place. But they want to make sure that nobody else does it for you. You know what I'm talking about? That thing that you love about her?
You're wrong.
You're sad.
My wife didn't stop making love to me.
Errol, you don't count. You got a 14-year-old pregnant. If you did that these days, you'd go to jail.
I'm just jealous because your wife did all this stuff to you and so you can't stand to see another man happy. You're so sad that you can't stand the idea that somebody else can get what you can't get. You're such a loser that you can't even stand the idea that two people could fall in love and live happily ever after just because you didn't.
Aye, all right, fair enough. I'll say my piece, and I'm a happy man. You can take my advice or you can ignore it. It's your choice.
There is a marriage contract. Like, it doesn't seem to mean much to anybody these days, but that's still a legal document.
A marriage contract isn't worth the paper it's written on. Name one woman who obeys her husband.
My wife did whatever I told her to do.
Errol! You lived in a time when a man was allowed to beat his wife up. Of course she did what she was told then, but nowadays if you try that, you go to jail. So that's you going to jail twice so far.
I've been to jail, but it was for hitting a man, not for hitting a woman.
Legally binding or not, it's still a deal made by two people that at the very least offers some sort of insight into who they are, what they want. It says, for instance, in sickness, honored health.
So if your wife is sick, tough, you're stuck with her. But if you get sick...
I would take care of her if she was sick.
What about for richer or poorer? But the small print says if the money goes, so does the woman. Or at least the sex goes until you start bringing money in again.
You could be sick and she could take care of you. And then she could get sick or you could have a sick child. All this can happen. But if you get it right, you will have someone there to share all the good times with, as well as someone being there when things get rough.
The problem these days is the roles are mixed up. You need to let your wife be the woman, and you need to be the man.
That's prison talk, and that's three strikes, Errol.
It's about compromise. It's about sometimes doing what makes you happy, and sometimes doing what makes her happy. And then when you have children, it's mostly about what makes them happy. And even though you might not think it, when your children are happy and when you see them smiling and laughing, well, that's when you'll feel it.
And they all lived happily ever after. Oh, don't listen to them, Leo. Take a look at the wedding vows and see how they're designed and just watch as your wife does none of them and you have to do all of them. Pick one thing about your wife that you hope never, ever changes. It doesn't have to be something that she does, but it can be. It could also be something about her, like her body, for instance. Will she always look that good? Will she stick to the diet and the exercise? Or will she have a baby and then knock all that in the head and sit in front of the TV every night watching Emmerdale and munching on snacks? It doesn't take long, let me tell you, to turn a skinny model into a jumbo-sized couch potato.
My girlfriend doesn't watch Emmerdale.
Of course she doesn't. And she's okay with you watching football live in your own living room. But that's just another thing that won't change, right? Just pick one and try to put it in the wedding vows.
We're done. Let's go. Congratulations again, Leo, and I wish you all the best. Good luck.
Okay, I'm going. I will just leave this with you. What was your girlfriend wearing the first time you set eyes on her?
Can't remember.
Yes, you can. Don't lie. Where did you meet her? The pub or a nightclub?
It was a nightclub.
A nightclub. So, it was a black mini dress and high heels, am I right?
Something like that.
She was beautifully made up. Hair freshly done that morning, or even just a couple of hours before you saw her. It's a scam. After you're married, the high heels get broke, the mini dresses get ripped apart, and next year's model will be wearing jogging bottoms and trainers. You might as well be married to your best friend.
She is my best friend.
Well, have you seen her without makeup on?
My girlfriend doesn't need makeup.
Maybe not now, but let me tell you something. Skin doesn't stay wrinkle-free and glowing after a woman gets married. No, it creases up like she's permanently frowning at you.
Your wife's permanently frowning at you. His won't be. He's not annoying like you.
Fair enough, blame me. It's all my fault. I married a monster. You're not going to. You're going to live a perfect life.
Right, say goodbye.
Put it in the wedding vows, Leo. Any one of them. Just pick it and try it. Tell her you will give up the wedding vow that says she has to obey you. Tell her you will give up all of them, in fact, if she will just put one in.
Lovely to see you, Errol. Sorry about your man here.
Oh, he's okay. I know a few widowers, and they're all a bit like him.
He's not a widower, Errol!
Leo, 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 you owe it to the man you're going to become. I know that when you're together, she'll promise you the world, but she doesn't mean it.
She means it.
Focus on the one thing you want, the one thing that you need. Put it in the wedding vows.
Goodbye, lads, and good luck.
Goodbye, John.
Cheers, mate.
Put it in the wedding vows.
Let your sister have a go. You were told to take turns.
I'm going to go in for a smoke so I can keep a wee eye on them for you.
Have you got cigarettes?
Of course. Maybe she'll lend you a cigarette, Val, and you can pay her back with interest.
Let's have a smoke in here and leave them out there.
Do you take sugar, Samantha?
Sweet enough.
How much does my husband actually owe you?
200 and counting.
Here's your tea. And that's only 2 quid a cup. But sure, we can take it off her husband's bill, eh?
Let me taste it first.
Can I ask you a question, Samantha.
My friends call me Sammy.
Why do you keep lending money to her husband when it's so difficult to get it back off him, Samantha?
Interest accrues. That's how I make my money. Also, if I have to spend money to get the money back, then those additional costs are also added in. I lend money. I don't give it away.
I heard the interest her husband has paid you over the years could have taken her and the kids on a nice holiday. Isn't that true?
Look, you can get all upset with me if you like, but you don't see the other side of it. Like when people come to me and they are deeply depressed because they can't pay a bill. Maybe the electric is going to be turned off and their husband has spent the wages down the pub or whatever. You should see their faces when I pay that bill for them.
Really?
They can't thank me enough, and most women, to be honest, pay their loans back as agreed, and there isn't much trouble ever. But with men, there is always trouble. Because men don't borrow money to pay bills, they borrow money to spend on themselves.
Stop lending them it then.
I'm running a business, Jane.
What did he say he needed the money for?
With Tom, it's always the same, Val. Gambling. He has a big problem with it.
He's going to have an even bigger problem when he comes home.
The main problem is he always says he has the solution. A horse, a football result, a card game. Although, to be fair, he does usually come up trumps when he plays cards. Not always, but most of the time. He's a very good card shark.
Thank God my John isn't like that. I don't know how you put up with him, Val. I would have showed him the door a long time ago.
Jump in the car, Tom.
Look, I couldn't say anything in front of them, but see that young fella? That naive young kid back there? He's waiting for two of his friends to come and celebrate with him. And guess what way they're going to celebrate?
Champagne, cigars, maybe a lap dance. Three things that you won't be allowed to do, so don't even think about it.
You're close, but no lap dance. That naive kid and two more naive kids and me are going to one of their apartments to play cards. Now, you know how much debt I'm in, John. And you know how good at cards I am. So what do you say? We're in a lot of trouble, John. This one card game could bail us out. One quick card game. You saw the kid. Imagine two more just like him.
He seemed like a nice kid, Tom.
Is that what you saw? Let me tell you what I saw. I saw a nice, naive, rich kid who thinks he knows how to play poker because he learned it on the internet.
I thought you were all concerned about him throwing his life away by marrying his Cameron girl.
That was just to reel him in. He thinks I'm an idiot, doesn't he?
Yes.
Let me teach him a lesson, John.
No, look, he seems like a really nice kid. I'm not going to let you take all his money when he's about to get married. Besides, Jane says I have to get home.
He's going to marry this girl, have this kid, and then some other bastard will teach him the same lesson, but then it's going to be hurting an innocent girl and a newborn baby. You could prevent that.
Why do you always twist everything? I've told you no. Now get in the car.
10%.
Get in the car.
15%.
If you ever won anything, you'd have to pay Samantha back first. Aye, you didn't think I knew about that, did you? And after you pay her, what would that leave you?
That's my problem. You get 15% of what I win, and then I pay Samantha back out of what's left. And what's going to be left will be enough. Leo said the game would be like a wedding present to him because he's going to take his friend's money. He said it would be a lot of money. He said it cost 100 to get a seat at the table.
50%.
What? Call yourself a friend?
I never said it was your friend. My wife is friends with your wife, remember?
30%?
You think?
Look at his eyes. He's nearly asleep.
Do you want to take him on up to bed and I'll wait with this wee one?
Hello?
Who is it?
It's your John. Hello, did you hear from him?
I found him in a pub and then I lost him again.
He found him and lost him again.
Give me the phone. Hello, it's me. How did you find him and then lose him again?
Jane, I didn't think he would do a runner.
Are you helping him?
Of course I'm not helping him.
You find him again, John, and you bring him straight home. Do you hear me?
Yes, dear.
You know, when Cameron came over the other night, she was wearing a jogging outfit. And when I asked her if we were going for a jog, she said no.
What are you talking about, Leo, son?
It was supposed to be a date. But she turned up wearing a baggy jogging suit. There was no shape to her. She looked like a boy. A big, fat boy.
Maybe she doesn't want everybody to see the bump.
Oh, but her boobs are getting really big and she usually
just... Whose boobs are getting really big, Errol?
Where the hell did you come from?
I thought your mate was dragging you home.
Where's Big John?
Big John is coming over with more drinks. We had a chat, a very manly chat, but that's not important right now. Whose boobs are getting bigger?
His girlfriend.
Errol!
Make some room for these, please, gentlemen.
What happened to you getting this light home, Big John?
He told me Leo needs him to make up the numbers for a friendly poker game.
That's right. But he made us swear not to tell anybody.
Mm. I made John swear as well, so we're all right. Here, John. His girlfriend's boobs are getting bigger and he thinks this is fantastic. But he doesn't realise what's next.
Why? What's next?
Leo, why did you ask that?
I'm not going to start on about how a woman turns into a complete monster during the pregnancy. No, forget that. Because that is only a small thing to what is going to happen to your life once the kid is actually born.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to be a good dad.
Yeah, let's drink to that.
Having kids is like living in opposite world, Leo. I say stop bouncing on the bed. They bounce higher. I say put that down. They throw it at me. I say don't play with the scissors. They get bigger scissors.
It's not all like that, Leo.
My 3-year-old boy treats me like a punch bag. Do you want to be a punch bag, Leo? What about a sick bag? That's right. Kids are sick on you. They throw up on you. And don't be listening to anybody who calls that nature or says it's just an accident. Because it's not. It's deliberate. They wait until you have on your best shirt or your best trousers or the last second when you're about to go out the door to somewhere important. They can't all be accidents. That's them asserting their authority. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't stop at vomit. They have other places that stuff comes out of.
I don't even know why your wife wants John to bring you home. If I had behaved like you, my Lily wouldn't have let me come home.
Children should come with a health warning on them.
Me and my Lily, we had 9 children.
9? You're insane.
2 more for a football team.
You think this is funny? Having 11 kids equals having your own football team, does it? It doesn't. It's more like having your own gym where you're the trampoline or that target thing like a dartboard or worse.
After we left her parents' home, we moved into a wee flat.
9 kids in a wee flat?
Forget about that. Listen to me, Leo. Did you know that children can shoot diarrhea 100 yards and they can aim it too? One day, I'd already changed our wee lad and he hit my favourite shirt deliberately, but everybody said it was an accident. So, I said nothing more about it and went and got changed. And then the next time he needed his nappy changed, she changes it. And she doesn't even get touched. But when she's putting the nappy in the nappy bag and picks up the clean one, he's looking right at me and smiling.
You're his daddy. He was smiling at his daddy.
Don't fall for that. He smiled at me and then he aimed his bum and whoosh. There were 7 people in that room, Leo, counting grannies and grandas. But guess what? Nobody got any diarrhoea on them. Just me. Now, does that sound like an accident to you?
I had 9 children and over 20 grandchildren. And I'm not claiming to be an expert, but I know a thing or two about babies. And I've dealt with more than mere diarrhoea and vomiting.
No disrespect, but I don't think so, Errol.
Would you let him talk? I want to hear what Errol has to say about babies. Everything you say makes me nervous.
As it should do. Errol comes from a different time. He might as well have lived on a different planet.
There is a little truth to what Tom is saying, but I'm still here. And I've seen the world change, and I've had to change with it.
You said earlier, when you had your first 2 children, you went to work every day and the grandparents took care of them.
It was only the first 2, there were 7 more.
Did you still work after you had 9?
I did, but the wife had to stop.
So your wife did everything? Bravo! If I'd been around then, I would have had 9 children too, but guess what? I was born in this century.
That would make you less than 12.
Idiot.
I'm talking hypothetically.
Do you know what that means? How many words is it?
Why are you getting on like that with me? I'm the only one here who's trying to help you.
You're not helping me, you're just scaring me. Or trying to.
My 9 children grew up, and when they had kids, I noticed everything was different. My sons were far more involved in raising their children than I was, and to be honest, I was jealous. I went to work every day. And don't forget Tom's son. I went to work when there was real work to be done. I broke my back every single day. What's the worst? You ever came home with a paper cut?
Those things hurt more than you think.
I dislocated a shoulder, busted my knee, and had aches and bruises on a daily basis. I went to the pub every day after work.
Hello?
Everybody would have 9 kids if they could go to work every day and then straight to the pub afterwards. If we lived in those days, I'd be telling Leo to go home now and get his girl pregnant again.
I know people say we were chauvinistic and all the rest of it, and perhaps we were a bit, but to be honest, I went to the pub to numb the pain. And it wasn't just physical pain. It was emotional pain too. I missed my kids when I was in work.
If I ever missed my kids, I would practice my aim.
We must have got something right, because out of my 9 children, none of them grew up to be serial killers or rapists.
Did you say you have more than 20 grandchildren?
I have great-grandchildren too. Now there's something. When you lift a little baby in your arms and he wraps his tiny little hand round your finger or thumb and he squeezes and you think, that's my boy. Think what it was like to hold that boy's baby. And then that boy's baby grows up and suddenly you find yourself holding your boy's baby's baby. Does that make sense? Am I saying it right? My son had a baby who had a baby who, by the way, is having a baby. What about that?
I'll try to find him as quick as I can and get back to you as soon as you do.
If you're not back in time, I'll get her ready and into bed for you.
What am I really going to do about him?
Have you threatened to kick him out?
Kick his teeth out, maybe? But kick him out? No. I'm joking. God help me, I still love him. I don't know why. He's useless around the house. He's pathetic when it comes to the children, and he really annoys me.
That's not love, Valerie.
You know, sometimes he would be sitting there watching TV and I would just look at him and he would have his dinner dishes sitting all around him and maybe he would have dropped a few papers on the floor. And I would just think about lifting the plate and smashing it over his head or lifting a knife and
he
just...
He shouldn't be sitting there watching the TV with his dinner dishes sitting all around him in the first place.
I know.
Don't say you know and then do nothing about it. From tonight, put a stop to it, because the longer it goes on, the harder it will be to change it. What you need to do is get him in here with the children and then walk out the door and let him see what it's really like.
Are you joking? I can't leave the children with him.
You have to. It's the only way he's going to learn.
What about the children, but?
Look, trust me. I have kids and I have grandkids. Everybody tries to get out of doing what needs to be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? So long as you allow him to treat you like this, he will do it. So long as you allow him to shirk his responsibilities, he will do it. You have to put your foot down and say, enough's enough.
That's easy for you to say, Jane. You're married to Big John.
Oh, why? Do you think my husband has always been nice and sweet and helpful? I've got news for you. He wasn't like that when I met him. But I told him straight, if he wanted to be with me, then he would have to sacrifice certain things.
You know what? Maybe Tom's right.
What do you mean, finally?
And what do I really know about getting married and having kids? I've only had a couple of girlfriends and Cameron's like the first real relationship I've been in.
Oh, and she turned you down before she found out she was pregnant.
So she did.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden we're getting married and having kids.
One child, Leo, and it's going to be beautiful.
What's going on here, Leo? You starting to listen to this man?
Maybe I am.
Well, don't listen to him. What sort of a person comes to a celebration like this and starts trying to talk a young man out of the most important thing in his life?
What kind of person has 9 kids and then lets those kids have 9 kids each? I hate the rain on your parade, Grandpa Walden, but has anybody in your family ever heard of condoms? Or a new thing out, the pill?
I have one grandson who plays for the other team. He would know more about that sort of thing, but of course he's not wearing them to prevent pregnancy.
Where did that come from?
What team does he play for?
The gay team.
Are you homophobic, Tom?
I had this dream once. And it was just me and this man.
Thought yous were going to go and play cards.
Shh! I want to hear about this dream. What happened, Leo?
This man was like... just standing there. What do you think that means?
Nothing! Dreams are meaningless.
He was very handsome.
Hello. So, look, there's plenty of handsome people in dreams. Dreams are just dreams. There's men in them, women in them, cats, dogs, unicorns. Sometimes houses, cars, flying cars. None of it means anything.
Wait, you had a dream about a unicorn?
In 1968, we had a really nasty winter. They closed schools and people had to do everything by candlelight because of the electric strike. Well, things got so bad that all the prisoners had to huddle together to keep warm. It was the only way.
Did he just say prisoners?
No electric blankets or nothing like they would have in prison these days. We had nothing but each other's body heat to do us, and that was it. A man could freeze to death at times like that.
Well, stop, please.
Don't stop. Our Laryl can come out of the closet any time he wants.
Oh, Laryl's not coming out of no closet. I'm staying in the closet until the end. Let me assure you of that fact. A man can have a friend who is just a friend.
Denial.
A man can love his friend in a manly way that has somehow become unacceptable these days, or at least nowadays it's more likely to carry with it a certain weight of encumbrances. But a boy can love his father, and a father can love a son.
That's different.
A man can't love his mother or his sister, and he doesn't find anything sexual about them.
And so a man can love his friend, another man, without any sexual connections.
I wouldn't want to risk going down that road.
Do you know what your problem is, Tom?
Is there only the one problem now?
I mean the main one.
Do tell.
You think that everybody sees the world the same way that you do. You think everybody hates something because you hate it. You think it is impossible for somebody to look at the world differently from you.
I think the exact opposite of that.
That's not his biggest problem. His biggest problem is that he thinks that he's the victim, and everything that happens to him has never happened to anybody else.
I think the exact opposite of that as well.
When somebody's tired, you're exhausted. If somebody has a cold, you have the flu. Somebody has a headache, you have a migraine. Somebody says they're sad, you have to top them by suffering from chronic depression. Even if a person just says they're having a bad day, you can't let them away with that. You have to have the worst day ever.
I get up and I watch what she does and I try to copy it. She washes our beautiful daughter in the bath, wraps her in a towel and carries her downstairs. I get our wee lad in the bath. He pisses in it. He pisses on me. He pisses on the towel and then he runs down the stairs.
Been there.
Wearing the t-shirt.
She opens drawers and cupboards and our wee girl picks her clothes and dresses herself with a wee bit of help from her mummy. He throws shoes at me. He hit me with a trainer the other morning. Those things hurt. He could have taken my eye out.
I warned you about this. The second child always causes a huge disruption. With the first child, you have him or her outnumbered. One of you can rest while the other one takes over.
Do you want me to tell you about being outnumbered?
I have this, Errol.
She lets her mommy comb her hair and put slides in it, and she sits with her arm round her neck, hugging her. The other day, I caught her telling her mommy that she loved her. For no reason. She wasn't even doing anything. I woke up in the middle of the night and thought my nose was running. I got a hanky to blow it, and that's when I realised it was bleeding. He punched me while I was sleeping.
Did you see him punching you?
Did I see him punching me? He's not stupid enough to let me see him.
What age is your wee boy?
He turned 3 at Halloween. Halloween.
Ignore him. Can I ask you a question, Leo? How long have you been with your partner?
They don't even live together yet.
Nearly a year.
Right, then my advice is simple. Get married and enjoy this child, but try to slow everything else down. Keep your new family down to one for the time being. One child, trust me, that'll be hard enough. But it's also a good learning experience, and it'll afford you enough time to really cement your relationship.
Any more than one child is a world of pain.
For sake.
What? I'm agreeing with you.
A year, Leo. I know when you're young, a year feels like forever, but a year isn't long enough to get to know someone.
You need a lifetime to really get to know someone. I mean, I knew my lovely wife all of 2 weeks. We had 2 dates. And before I knew what was what, I was married and had a child.
Come on.
One day you go to sleep and the next day you wake up and you don't just have one child. You have 9. And they have 20. And they have more. And so on. And you look in the mirror and you see an old man looking back. An old man, he misses his wife.
And you look that old man in the eye and you say these words, why didn't I listen to Tom?
I have kids. Errol has a multitude. Leo's about to start his own multitude. There's no need for all this negativity about it. Look, I just want to have this one drink before I take you and Leo around to your poker game. And that's it.
Your parents should have called you Mary. Because you are one contrary little man.
I'm also the opposite of that. In fact, you couldn't be less contrary than me. I am a very agreeable man.
I'm not getting married anymore. That's it. You've convinced me.
What? No, wait a minute, Leo.
I'm serious. I don't want to end up like you 3. I don't want to have to run away and hide from my wife and kids like Tom here.
And I don't want to be bullied into running after people like you, Big John.
Nobody bullies me, kid. You don't have to be like any of them, Leo.
No? Who should I be like, Al? You? Am I with all the kids in the world but secretly gay?
I'm not secretly gay.
Not anymore. We know.
I'm not going to stay in the closet. I'm not going to be bullied. And I'm not going to run away from anybody. I'm going to go to her house and I'm going to tell her the whole thing is off. And I'm going to live my own life. My own way.
Where are you going, Leo?
You have to stay and fix this, Tom.
I can't fix it. I have to go and get the money for the poker game.
If he doesn't come back, there is no game.
Well, isn't it going to be easier for you to fix it if I'm not here getting in the way or making things worse?
Okay, but you better hurry back here.
Have you got some money for me, Tom?
There's a card school tonight.
Where?
A young kid's apartment. And I'm not talking about hardcore poker players here. I'm talking about idiots who think they can play poker. I'm talking about a kid who's already drunk and two of his mates who think they're going to take all his money tonight because they don't know that I'm going to be there. You know how good I am at cards, Samantha.
What kind of money are you talking about here?
Okay, I need 100 to get in the game and I guarantee you I will give you 10% of what I make plus repay some of my debt.
10%? Are you joking me?
I've got a lot of debts. Oh, come on, what do you say? This is a chance to actually make some money from me for a change.
What if you lose?
I'm not going to lose. And better than that, I'm going to try to set it up for more than just one game. It could end up a weekly thing if I play this right, and you know that I will. But maybe the stakes will rise. I'll be able to pay you more every week.
I want £300 plus you clear your balance straight away. Do you know what I mean, love?
I haven't found him yet, Jane.
Who do you think you're kidding, John? Do you forget how long we've been married? Do you forget how long I've known you? Do you really expect me to believe that a man like you could find a miserable little coward like Tom and then somehow let him get away from you? I don't think so. Tell me what's really going on.
I'm taking him to a poker game. Look, he's got this young lad all primed and set up. The young lad thinks Tom's an idiot and Tom's playing him. The kid is rich. His friend has invited us to his apartment in the city centre. Now think about it, love. These are spoiled rich kids and Tom is a real card shark. Well, he's going to clean up.
No, he isn't.
I've seen him playing poker against real poker players. He's really good at it.
I don't care. Listen to me. You go now and grab him by the scruff of his skinny neck and you drag him home right this minute or you don't bother coming home yourself. Do you hear me?
But this could get him and Valerie out of a lot of debt and she's your friend.
Really? That's sweet. And if they do get out of debt, maybe they'll let you move in with them. Because let me tell you something, John. If you don't bring him back here in the next half hour, you're going to need a new place to live.
Yes, dear.
I just got another drink for the young lad, but I didn't know if you wanted another cup of coffee or not.
I'm fine, Errol. Put you your money away.
I don't think your mate's coming back.
Let's hope not, anyway.
He's not my mate, and he definitely is coming back. He's just a way to get money for your poker game.
Good, because like everything else, he doesn't know how to play the game. So whatever money he brings will be like a nice wedding present for young Leo here.
I told you. Not getting married anymore.
Yes, you are, Leo. And here's my wedding present to you. Tom is an incredibly gifted poker player.
What? He couldn't be. He's an idiot.
He's a hustler.
I knew he couldn't be trusted.
I've seen Tom clean up against some really heavy players. Trust me, son. If you let him sit at that table in your friend's apartment, your friend won't be the only thing you lose tonight.
If his own friend warns you about him, what does that say?
All that stuff about not getting married and staying single. That's all part of his long game. Tom sees you and your friends as very rich, naive boys who need to be taught a lesson. You see, if you take him up tonight, he's going to win. Oh, he might allow one of you to win a wee bit as well. You would be the most likely, but he might pick the lad who owns the apartment instead.
Why would he do this?
To get back, to play again, to win more money from you and your friends. That's how it works, Leo. If he cleaned you out in one go, would you ever let him back?
Of course not.
But if he lets one of you win, and he wins about the same, then that lad will bring him back, and he'll keep doing that until the pot gets big enough, or until somebody catches on to what's happening.
And why are you telling me this?
Because
he's trying to do the right thing.
If you get married, Leo, it ruins it for Tom, because he knows that your wife won't let you keep playing poker.
Just stop saying things like that, it won't be up to my wife. It will be up to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, if you get married, you will be more than likely to put all your money into your life with your wife and child. And that will make you less likely to want to risk it in a game of cards.
What's the alternative, Leo? Would you prefer to go back to being single? To being alone? Endless lonely nights, or worse, field one-night stands? Or playing with sharks and getting bitten over and over again? Eating alone? Drinking alone?
I have friends.
I know, but what happens when they all get married? Do you really think they'll still be out drinking with you? Do yourself a favour. Go home now and grab that girlfriend of yours and hold on to her as tightly as you can.
He said he needed more money.
I hope you told him where to go.
I'm a businesswoman, Valerie.
Listen, I want you to do me a favour. From now on, if you see him, walk away. I want you to make it clear to him that you will never lend him money ever again.
I still have to get the money that he owes me.
I'll pay it if you stay away from him. This is the last money you make from my husband.
I'm not really sure I understand exactly what you're saying.
Let me spell it out then. You're not allowed to lend my husband any more money. I'll clear what he owes you up until today, but if I find out that you've lent him anything after today, not only will you not get that money back, but I'll come and see you about it.
That sounds like a threat.
I'm glad it does, because that's my intention.
My round, Betty. Same again for all them over there.
What are you doing, Tom?
Getting a drink. Where's the kid?
He left, Tom.
We better get over there quick. We don't want them starting without us. Did he give you the address?
No, he didn't.
Well, what way did he leave it with you then? Did he give you the phone number or what?
No. Here's what's happening, Tom. I'm going to let you have one more drink and then I'm taking you home, like I should have done in the first place.
Wait. Errol, where's the kid?
He decided to go home and see his fiancée instead of playing cards with you.
Why did you let him go, John? I told you I was getting the money from Samantha. This game was going to allow me to clear my debt with her, sort Valerie out, even get a few quid for you. Why would you throw all that away on me?
It's not up to Big John to keep anybody here dangling on a hook for you.
Well, what am I supposed to do now?
You're supposed to go home to your wife and kids.